Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
The emotional narrative is the driver of society today, not principle, not right and wrong, not even law, emotion. And Jack Kevorkian caught that, and he ran with it.
Social conservatives in this country are with one voice saying, Israel today, Israel tomorrow, and Israel forever.
The church has taught for millennia that these promises made to Israel really had their ultimate fulfillment in Christ.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices and contemporary worship styles down the line.
This cannot be a coincidence. If it is, it's a remarkable coincidence. There really must be something to this. I don't know exactly what there is to it, but in the Old Testament, it's quite clear that when God is making a people for himself, he does it in 12s. He has 12 tribes of Israel. Then in the New Testament, when Jesus is choosing his disciples, he chooses 12. They're even called the 12 again and again and again. And the number 12 is filled out again when one of them, Judas, betrays Jesus and hangs himself. They fill out that number back to 12 again. What is it about 12 in the Bible? And those are not the only instances of 12 in the Bible. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Friday afternoon. We're coming to you live on June the 10th. Our call-in number for questions and comments for Pastor George Borghardt in the first half hour or so as we talk about the number 12 in the Bible, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Visit our Facebook fan page. Vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week coming up in about 40 minutes, facebook.com/IssuesETC, or send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@IssuesETC.org. Pastor George Borghardt is senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled 12. George, welcome back.
Hey, howdy. I got to preserve the Texan howdy, even though I'm up here north. So, howdy.
You'll lose it. You'll actually lose it at some point. But
I sincerely hope not.
I do the same thing. Just random people on the street, howdy. It's a force of habit, but I consider it a good habit rather than a bad habit.
Maybe after 12 years, I'll lose it.
Yeah. What about 12? Is there something special about the number itself?
Well, in and of itself, the number is just 10 plus 2, but the Lord seems to pick it up. As you said in the intro, in the Old Testament, he has 12 tribes. In the New Testament, he has 12 apostles. When he gathers his people together in Revelation, he has 12 times 12, Old and New Testament, 144 for all time, 1,000. The Lord seems to do 12. He doesn't stop at 11. He does 12. I don't know. In and of itself, no number is special, but he seems to do 12, and that seems to be the number, not seems to be, but is the number of his church, 12.
So we should associate, as often as we can, with a straight face, we should associate that number in the Old Testament with the church, Old or New Testament?
Well, let's see. June 12th is coming up. I'm not predicting the rapture here. I'm just saying that that's Pentecost. And it actually is. How fortuitous for me in my interview. A lot of folks think that that's the birthday of the church, except the church goes all the way back to the beginning. The church doesn't start at Pentecost. Just as the Lutheran church doesn't start at the Reformation, it goes all the way back. So the church flows from the blood and water flowing from Christ's side. The church starts with the promise made to Adam that yeah, you've messed this up, but Alter Eve, actually, yeah, this has been messed up, but one of your seed is going to crush the head of the serpent, and he himself is going to be struck. And so when we see 12, we think church. Whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, God's people. God's going to have himself a people. You know, sort of, it's a funny God. It was a couple of readings ago in the Old Testament lesson. He says, you know, I'm going to do this, and then you will know that I'm the Lord. I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. You'll be my 12. And here in the New Testament as well, he has a 12. And there on Pentecost, on just happens to be June 12th, the 12 line up. This year, June 12th, the 12 line up, the 12 apostles line up, and they proclaim the gospel. And so he does 12, his church, 12.
Okay, is it fair to do something else? You said 10 plus 2, which doesn't seem to say much.
No, doesn't do anything.
But is it fair to do a little, not prime factorization, but just a little factorization on it, and come at it from 3 times 4? Is there any significance there of those two numbers that go together?
You know, you could. I don't. I mean, I sort of take the number as it is, and try not to play games with it. He seems to use 12 over and over again. He doesn't use 11. In fact, it's very telling in Matthew 28 that he has 11 minus 12 minus Judas is 11. So it's very, very. He doesn't stop there, and that's why he sends them to go and make disciples. Go and make a 12. And that is fulfilled in Matthias in Acts chapter 1, and then it's on to Pentecost. So I put my tongue firmly in my cheek when I do 4 times 3, being kind of playful, or 10 plus 2. But the number 12, that scripture shows up a lot. And when we see that number, we should pause and go, what's the Lord doing? You know, we see sevens. You know, in the scriptures as well. I'm not prepared to do all the sevens, and we do threes. With the Trinity. But when we see a number that seems to be used over and over again, it's fair to take note of it. And here we're rejoicing in the church's number. Church and ministry, let's not pull those apart. The church's number 12.
When you say church and ministry, what do you mean by that? Why put that emphasis there, George?
Well, it's just 12 disciples. And we could go crazy and go, oh, it's the holy ministry he's talking about when he does 12s. Or, you know, 12 tribes. Oh, it's the church he's talking about when he does 12. Well, hold up for a second. Let's not pull those two apart. My favorite professor at the seminary would call that a spurious alternative. I would have to look up spurious first to know it. No, but the let's not pull things apart. Where you have pastors preaching and people receiving. Where the gospel's being preached in its truth and purity, and there are sheep that are gathered to hear the shepherd's voice, that's where 12 is going on. That's where the church is. Not one over against the other, or one lording over the other, but where both are there. Pastor all by himself is not church. People all by themselves are not 12. Where pastor and people are there, as Dr. Luther says in the Large Catechism, any seven-year-old knows sheep who hear the shepherd's voice. That's church.
Let's go back to the Old Testament. You alluded to it before, but here we'd be in Genesis 35 and thereabouts, where the number begins to come to the fore, where it gets established in the sons of Jacob, eventually the people of Israel. Talk about that.
Well, he makes the tribes, 12 of them, and he doesn't. That seems to carry through all the way through the Old Testament. There are 12 tribes. He doesn't have 11. He doesn't have 10. He has 12. And he fulfills his promise in Judah, who isn't a very good guy, but out of Judah comes the promise, the Lord Christ. He's of the tribe of Judah. And those tribes are carried all the way through the Old Testament. He has his 12, his people. The Lord's going to have himself a people. He's going to save his people. These people don't save themselves. They do anything but save themselves. A couple of weeks ago, we had the reading where he literally says to them, I'm going to save you, not because of you. All you've done is mess my name up. But for my name's sake, I'm going to save you so that the nations will know that I'm the Lord. And so he carries his 12 all the way from from Israel's sons, the 12 tribes, all the way through the Old Testament. He's going to have himself a people. He's going to have himself a people. And they go straying, and they go doing their own thing. They go trusting in gods or trusting in their armies or trusting in themselves to save themselves. But he is faithful all the way until the one born of Mary, their fulfillment of the whole Old Testament. Israel boiled down to one is Jesus. And that's the front end of Matthew's gospel. There's your 12 in the Old Testament, kind of short, but you only gave me 30 minutes, so.
How would you respond to someone who says, well, you know, it's that Old Testament history that's troublesome here because while they are comprised or initially 12 tribes, and I want to come back to the fact that they bear their father's names too, but they don't stay 12. They split up. Some of the tribes literally disappear, taken off into exile, never to return or come back together to form any kind of cohesive people. How do we deal with that with about a minute before our break, George?
What, just a minute? Oh, it's easy. They're sinners. We're sinners. We go straying all over the place. We do our own thing. We would do anything but be 12. In fact, we'd like to go our own and be our own God and just throw the 12 aside and do our own thing. And so I would handle that by simply saying we are all like sheep who've gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way, but the Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about the number 12 in the Bible. It's Friday afternoon, the 10th of June. Feel free to call with a question or a comment or send us an email. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In about 25 minutes, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can see them there and vote for them as well. Pastor George Borghardt is senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled 12.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's all-purpose sauce at your local grocery store or log on to countrybobs.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's all-purpose sauce.
You could make a case that Oprah Winfrey was the only successful liberal mainline Protestant in the last 25 years.
The emotional narrative is the driver of society today, not principle, not right and wrong, not even law. Emotion.
The majesty and glory of God is not justice but mercy. So from the moment of cursing, he made a promise that he would fix it through a seed born of woman.
It's very hard to avoid giving youth the impression that if their pastor is the junior varsity shepherd, that they aren't somehow the junior varsity sheep.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Just a little bit, we'll plan Issues Etc. Soundbite of the week, your chance to vote and pick the soundbite of the week a little bit later on this Friday afternoon. In the meantime, Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about the number 12 in the Bible. George, before we go on, you are intimately involved in Higher Things. Our listeners are well aware of Higher Things as this great youth organization, and you have a series of conferences coming up in 2012, and I think 12 has something to do with the theme there, in addition to the conferences you have coming up this summer in 2012. How does it work out?
Well, we're gonna do 12 as the theme for the conference. It's sort of neat. It's 2012, but when kids think of 12, when most people think of 2012, they think of those blasted Mayans and their funny calendar that ends in December. And so we thought it would be fun and opportunist to sort of take a look at 12 and not look at the Mayans, but look at the church in the last days. And so that's what we'll be doing at the Higher Things conferences next year in 12. We'll be 12 and 12. That's kind of clever. But the Higher Things is a national Lutheran youth organization which promotes Lutheranism, dares young people to be Lutheran. And in our conferences next year, we should have possibly, don't hold me to it, but it looks like 4 next year. That doesn't work with the 12 theme since there are 4 days in our conferences. We should have stuck with 3. 4 times 3 is 12, but 4 times 4 is 16. So we'll do 16 days of 12. See, the numbers start to break down. Anyway, having fun with 12 next year.
Folks, you can find out more about the Lutheran Youth Organization Higher Things under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. By the time we get to the New Testament, and this is kind of picking up on where we left off before, George, the 12 was pretty much gone in terms of, I mean, you couldn't very well put together the 12 tribes, even if you tried. By the time we get to the arrival of the Messiah, is God starting over again, or is he doing something even more wonderful than that when Jesus is Israel reduced to one?
Yeah, he's going to do it right. He's going to do it himself. He doesn't do anything all brand spanking new. What he does is he fulfills everything in his Son. And so when he says, you know, this is the New Testament in my blood, it's not, I'm going to out with the old and in with the new. It's everything that went before fulfilled in the one born of Mary. So where Israel failed, Christ does not. And he does that, he does in Israel in the beginning of Matthew. He goes into Egypt, he's out of Egypt, I've called my son. He's into the wilderness, and then after he's into the wilderness, he's on to being faithful, even unto death, death on a cross. And so he is Israel. But, you know, along the way, he stops and he picks what number? Not 11, not 10, 12 apostles, and he sends those 12 to preach the kingdom of God to all the area around there. And so there's his 12 again. And then in Revelation, we have the 12, 24 elders, 12 Old Testament, 12 New Testament. There's the church again, 12 Old Testament, 12 New Testament. There it is, all of them. The Lord has his 12. I don't think he doesn't ever throw out the old stuff. He fulfills it, and he fulfills it in a way that we could never, ever come up with on our own. He fulfills it in his Son.
Does Judas's betrayal, his fall from the number of 12, kind of function the same way that the people of Israel's rebellion in the Old Testament did? That is, highlight the fact that these 12 are not significant in that they're part of the 12, but they're there by grace.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. I mean, Judas, never take anything away from Judas. Judas was one of the 12. He preached in the Lord's name. He taught in the Lord's name. He performed miracles in the Lord's name. But he fell away. He thought he knew better than Christ. And really, the greatest law I've ever heard was, 30 pieces of silver to sell out Jesus. I've sold him out for far less. And you have too, probably, which means our being in the 12, our being in the family of God does not depend upon us at all. It can't. It has to. It depends solely on Jesus. For there's no other name given unto men by which we must be saved. We are saved. We must be saved in Christ, in Him. And so, yeah. Oh, wonderful grace, solely by His grace. That's a sort of a reverse way. Judas shows us that far only by grace.
Now, the disciples don't come out and say it. They don't mention the number 12. They do talk about someone taking his place and that the number needs to be filled out again. They don't come out and say, well, looky here, we had 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament. Jesus chose 12 of us. We need 12 to go forward. But they do that, in essence, in early in the book of Acts. Tell us about it.
Right. They need someone to fill Judas's topos, his place. And so they have a call meeting, and they draw lots, and the lot falls on Matthias, and Matthias, who nobody ever, I want to be a pastor like Matthias. No one ever goes, gives Matthias props, but he's one of the 12, and there he stands on Pentecost in front of the folks, and Peter steps forward and preaches. And what a wonderful sermon, too, walking us through the Old Testament, walking the people through the Old Testament, and concluding with those powerful words, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the people are cut to their heart, and they repent. And it ends at the baptismal font. That's you don't get into the 12. You don't get into the church outside of the water flowing from the side of Christ. The placement of the baptismal font in ancient churches, you pass it on the way into the door. You might dip your finger in it and splash it on you to remember that you're baptized, because that's how you get into the 12. You become one of the family. You're watered in, or named, as you started to make reference in the Old Testament. You're named, and then you're one of the 12. You're in the church.
Well, let's talk about that, because the 12 tribes aren't just 12 divisions of, I mean, the, or 12, what shall we say, kind of...
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Yeah, departments. They all bear a name. If you were from the tribe of Judah, you were from the tribe of Judah, Levi, likewise, yeah, all the way down the line. And this is how the people of God identified themselves, by these first names,
Jacob's sons,
that they had. They were Jacob's sons. They were Israel's children.
Right.
Is there a corollary to that in the New Testament 12?
We're all sons of God through Christ. Our connection is not by means of a tribe or by birth, but by the blood and water flowing from His side. They went and did their own thing. And He has gathered us together in His Son. And so we're not born of flesh or by human decision or by the will of man, but we're born in John 1, born of God, born in the waters of our baptism. And so I'd say the naming in baptism is the connection there, but not born in any particular one of the tribes, but we're given... At the baptismal font, I know I'm running out of time. At the baptismal font, the pastor looks at the parents and says, "How shall that child be named?" And I love the look on the parents' faces, usually like, "Well, dummy, we already gave the kid a name." No! God's going to name this child, and this is going to be a child of God. And so there's the name. He does the name. He gives the name. And so we are then part of His family, one of His 12. Church.
We're going to take a break here and then a few more minutes on the other side of that break, but we still got a minute or so with you before the break, George. Take us into the book of Revelation, where the number 12 kind of comes out and then begins to literally multiply. Start us off with about a minute here.
It does. does. It does. You got 24 tribes worshiping God in a liturgical worship, not wild contemporary worship, but liturgical worship. They get down on their knees and they worship God at certain points of the divine service. 24, 12 plus 12. And then when we see the ones that are sealed, marked, baptized, saved from the tribulation, they're 144,000 in number, 12 times 12, over the course of all the church that's been saved. And so the number game really sort of plays out in Revelation. It's seen in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, but it starts to really sort of go into overdrive in Revelation. 24 elders worship in Old and New Testament, worshiping God before the throne, and then all the church, old and new, 12 times 12, till all time, times 1,000, in Revelation.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, a little more of 12 in the Bible with Pastor George Borghardt. Then we'll be playing Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. You can go to our website, issuesetc.org, and see what the soundbites are, listen to them, and vote in advance. When we come back, a few more minutes with Pastor George Borghardt, senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled 12. Feel free to join us with questions or comments in the few minutes we have with George, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
You'll find 130 Bible stories for young children in the Story Bible. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. The Story Bible contains high-quality, realistic art, discussion questions, and prayers. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Story Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. Christ-centered, cross-focused, the Story Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A country devastated by abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
There are over 5 million fewer people living in Russia today than there were in 1995. The dramatic population decline is starting to cause economic and social problems. Many now realize that the country's high abortion rate is contributing to the population decline. Over 4 million Russian pregnancies end in abortion each year, while only 1.7 million result in a live birth. The situation in Russia, like that in China, reveals the unintended consequences and demographic problems caused by liberal abortion policies. The good news is that, unlike China, Russian officials say they want to change course.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the number 12 in the Bible. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We're coming to you live this Friday, June the 10th, in just a few minutes. Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. George, if anyone has any doubt as to the significance of the number 12 in the entire Bible, one needs only to look at Revelation chapter 21, where John is shown the New Jerusalem, this heavenly and earthly city, and it's all 12s. Everything about it is 12. Talk about it.
The New Jerusalem coming out of heaven from God. All 21s. It's his church. It's his church. It's this church of the Old Testament. It's this church of the New Testament. It's all Christ. I love that 21. I can't get to the 12 because he's wiping every tear from their eyes. There's no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. There's no more plagues. There's no more suffering. There's no more sadness. The walls of the city, 12 foundations, and the 12 names are the 12 apostles of the Lamb, 14. And so amidst all the no more pain and God washing washing our tears away, we see that the church is built upon the foundation of the doctrine of the apostles and prophets with Christ as the cornerstone. The city lies four square. Its length is the same width. He measured the city with a rod. It's 1,200 stadia. Oh, there's all these 12s. I can't do them all in a minute. 144 cubits by human minutes. There's all these 12s. And all connecting to the church. And if we had, 12 hours to do it, maybe the next time you do the 24, that's 24 times 2. You could take a look at the meetings of all of these. But, when it's New Jerusalem talk, it's all 12. And let's not get wrapped up in being 12, because the reason why we're the church, there's nothing special about us in and of ourselves. What makes us special is the Lamb. He's the one who is the light of the world. He's the one that gives light to the city. He's the one who looks as if he's been slain, and he's the one who's our Savior. And so we get our 12-ness as the church, not by being different from anyone else or setting ourselves apart, but that he has set us apart and that he's washed our sins away. He's named us in the baptismal font. He's put into us his very body and blood, the New Testament, the fulfillment of the old. And that dwells us, makes us part of his church, and washes our sins away, and makes it so that there will be for us the New Jerusalem in heaven. There's no doubt about it. It's not something we have to work for. It's something that we receive, that we're put into in Christ. And you're right, you can't read Revelation 21 without seeing all the 12s there, with the names of the apostles of the Lamb on the foundations of the city.
Pastor George Borghardt is senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled 12. George, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, thanks for having me.